Well, here we are for our culture segment, and I am very privileged to have on the phone Benjamin Watson, NFL player. Those of you who know him know that he is on the New Orleans Saints, one of the several teams he's been on in a long NFL career. So, Benjamin, welcome to the Boundless Show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Okay, well, in addition to all the stuff that you've done in the NFL, and we're going to link to this too, I want people to know that you do a lot off the field. You have got your foundation, One More, your spokesman for the All-Pro Dad campaign. You are a husband and a father. But I want to start out by talking, I mean, your team, we are looking forward to the Super Bowl on Sunday. Your team made it deep into the playoffs, but appendicitis, what kept you out of what would be your last game? And I know, I mean, it's hard, you know, it was a tough loss. I want you to talk about that because I saw you on the sidelines pumping up your teammates, especially your fellow tight ends. Talk about that game and the highs and the lows of it.
It was a difficult last 7 days, I would say. Of course, you mentioned appendicitis. I had that on Wednesday and Thursday and was in the hospital. And, of course, doctors want to do surgery to take it out, but I was able to take some antibiotics, which I'm still on, in order to give me a chance to play last Sunday. And for whatever reason, number of reasons, the coaches decided not to let me play, which was definitely disheartening after, you know, trying to get out of the hospital. But part of, I think, being on the team and part of dealing with that sort of disappointment is to continue to support the guys that are out there. So my biggest goal was to support them, to help them win so that we could have a chance to go to the Super Bowl. It didn't turn out that way, but, you know, part of being a team is obviously making plays when you're able to, but the other part of it is supporting even when there's some sort of disappointment. And the way the game ended with you know, a very controversial non-call by the referees was very tough for a lot of us as we have put a lot of work into it. But that's sometimes how it goes. So now we're heading into the off season and guys are going their separate ways. But I do have a lot of faith that the guys will come back next year and play well again.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to tell anyone if you slash some tires. I'm just being honest. You know, if that's what you need to do.
I wanted to slash some tires, smash some windows, everything.
Yeah. I'm just saying, you just pray about it and we'll see what God tells you. I mean, you know, it's okay. It's all good.
you got to vent sometimes.
If he gives you the go ahead. Okay. So what now, obviously there's the final game coming up on Sunday. When is your retirement official? Because clearly, you know, you're still, the season's still happening. You're kind of still, like you said, the guys are going their separate ways, but when is that actually official?
Well, technically the league year in March. And so that's okay. When all the guys' contracts who are free agents, their contracts will expire. They'll become what we call a free agent, which means someone who's not under contract. Some guys will still be under contract. So really, I'm technically employed by the New Orleans Saints until mid-March.
Okay. Well, that is cool. You did announce in December that this would be your final season, that you're retiring from the NFL. And it's been super fun to watch you. You know, just the whole team and just the spirit of the team and kind of what's gone on there, minus the scary gold mouth guards. Like, whoever wears those, I'm not okay with them. They just scare me. Every time a guy turns around and I see it, I'm like, what? Anyway, okay, but that's another.
They scare you.
they just scare me. I just think they're weird. I don't know. I think they're weird, but I'll go ahead and write in to the team and, you know, make it official, whatever. Okay, I want to back it up because you know, we're talking to 20 and 30 somethings here. And one of the topics we talk about a lot at the Boundless Show is just navigating the workplace as a young adult, specifically as a Christian in the workplace. Mm-hmm. And that's something that you have done now for a couple decades. And so I want you to talk about what it looks like for you. Like, what would your, Benjamin, how would your teammates describe you in your faith and the way it plays out on the field and in your life? Give our young adults some encouragement for how they could maybe apply some lessons that you've had to use.
Yeah, well, I would hope my teammates would describe me, number one, other than being old, as they call me, is being authentic. Mm-hmm. My goal has always been to be authentic and transparent. As believers, I think that obviously people are watching. People are watching if what we say matches up with how we live. And it's important to be honest and say that, you know, we are all going to be hypocrites at some point. Something that we say is not always going to line up with how we live, but we shouldn't be like that habitually. And so I think my teammates would say that I was authentic, that I preached. I preached one thing, and I lived the same way. I was open about my life, about my marriage and being a parent and all those sorts of things. They would say that I was somebody that had a certain standard that I wanted to live by, and by all means that they knew, I lived by those standards. And I think that that's what the world is looking for. When they look to people who are believers, they're looking for authenticity. They're not looking always for perfection, but they're looking for someone who is going to be willing to set a standard, live by that standard, and also call others to do the same thing. So they will probably say that sometimes I get in their business, and I do sometimes, especially when it comes to challenging them about manhood and you know, being fathers and being guys who can be counted on, that sort of thing. So, you know, and lastly, I would hope that they would say that I cared about their individual stories. When we go to work, no matter what your occupation is, it's very easy to be consumed by your own goals, your own plight, your own responsibilities, and it's important to see the humanity in it and be willing to enter into others' issues and problems and to offer them wisdom and sound advice when you can.
Yeah. I think what's so cool is as you look across, you know, all the teams in the divisions in your sport, it seems like you're in some good company. There are a fair number of guys out there who are really seeking to honor the Lord. So there's got to be a brotherhood in that.
It definitely is. Definitely is. You know, just like in any job, people ask me all the time, what's it like being in the NFL and being a Christian? Is it super hard? And I would say it's not any harder than in any other occupation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we probably have the same amount percentage-wise of guys who are believers, guys who are non-believers, guys who are seeking, guys who are totally against anything religious, and then some guys who are totally for it. So there's definitely a mixture there. The one thing I do love about the NFL is that we're able to express ourselves in ways that I think other occupations may not be able to or may not feel comfortable doing. You know, I've enjoyed being able to have a Bible study at the facility, you know, before meetings or having prayer as a team whenever someone had a loss in the family or something like that. And we're able to do those things without feeling like there's any sort of repercussions. We can be open and honest about our faith, and we can disagree, and we can still come together and still try to attain a certain goal, which is winning games.
Yeah.
So there is a sort of a brotherhood that goes across teams, and I think that can be seen a lot of times when you look at the games. After the game, you see guys come together, shake hands, pray together, that sort of thing. So there are guys. God has people on every team in every city.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about men and manhood, as you alluded to. You know, I think if you were to listen or read the tabloids or TV reports or whatever, or just marketing stuff, you know, I think there are a lot of people that want to make us believe that football, especially at a pro level, is just about, you know, guys who are into cars and money and women and stuff. But what is your advice to men who really want to honor God in a culture that doesn't honor God? And what qualities would you say, Benjamin, do young men today, young Christians, really need to fight for in their own lives?
Well, we said the number one piece of advice I would say is to understand that all Scripture is profitable for doctrine and reproof and correction and instruction in righteousness, and that our foundation needs to be the Word of God, number one. We live in a time, and our time is not unique in that there have been other times when this is the case, but we live in a time of, you know, you want to feel good, you want the worship music to feel the right way, it's about feelings and those types of experiences, and they have their place. But the number one piece of advice I give to any young man that I talk to is he needs to be grounded in God's Word. That's how he learns right from wrong. That's how he understands how to treat other people, how to treat women. That's how he understands his own place when it comes to having an eternal perspective. That's how he deals with successes as well as failure. and that's something that we all go through. And so if a man wants to exemplify manhood, but he is not feeding himself with the proper nutrition, he's just like an athlete that's trying to go out there without eating the right things and without working out, lifting weights, and studying and all those sorts of things. He's going to be tossed by any wind of culture. And so I encourage men to be grounded in the Word of God. Secondly, it's about having community. And we mentioned the brotherhood thing. There's always at least one or two guys on every team I've been on that are willing to sharpen each other. And when they come together, they can hold each other accountable. And that's vitally important for any man, not just in the NFL, but in any profession. Look, there is a perception that, you know, in the NFL, a bunch of guys that want to do this, that, and the other. And I think that's the case in general with young men. And you're looking at a demographic of men who are from the ages of 21 up until, in my case, 38. But most of them are until 21 to around 30. You know, that's usually where most of them are out of it. And, you know, the same thing you see from men in any occupation, that's what you can imagine from us. But I know a number of men, and there are other men that are standing apart and being willing to be leaders in that category.
Yeah. That's a good point. You are, you know, also to that point, relationships are important. You are married to Kirsten and have, what, 5 kids and 2 on the way?
Yep.
Oh, my word. Okay. So clearly now, okay, your kids are still kind of little. One thing we talk about a lot here at Boundless is dating and relationships and honoring God in that. So you better get your kids onto Boundless pretty soon, Benjamin, and get, you know, get some good advice.
I don't even want to talk about it.
Hey, you've got a few years, but it comes faster than you think. So I'm just saying. All right. Yeah. I want you to give your best dating advice, either what worked or didn't work for you in your own relationship, and how really are you going to prepare your own kids for that as they move towards, you know, honoring marriage and wanting that for themselves?
Oh man. My dating experience was one that was not very, I didn't date a lot. Mm-hmm. I'll put it like that. And it wasn't because I didn't want to date. I wanted to date all the time, but my parents did not allow us to date until we were teenagers. And then at that, there was a whole process, a litany of questions that we'd have to answer. We'd have to go talk to the girl's dad, have him call over. If she didn't have a dad, talk to the mom. Like, there were so many roadblocks that you just ended up not wanting to date. And that may have been part of the reason why they did it that way. But I think that, you know, the number one piece of advice that I've received, it's kind of a combination of how my parents did it and kind of how we want to do it. We want to have a relationship with our children where we are open to talking about their sexuality, their hormones, their desires, when they first like somebody of the opposite sex. We want that to be a normal conversation that doesn't just start all of a sudden at 16 when it's time to start dating or whatever that age is. We want it to be something that we've talked about it. And then we also want to instill in them the idea of looking for not simply dating to be dating and to be pairing off with people, but that they have a vision in mind of working towards a long-lasting relationship, one man, one woman, in the context of marriage, especially in a time where sex is being given away in ways that are destructive, not only to that person, but to the subsequent partners that they have down the road. And so, you know, I know it's coming. My oldest daughter she's about to turn 10. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's not that far down the road. I've bought a couple shotguns already. So that's part of it as well.
Yeah.
But I do think that the biggest thing about dating, when we look at it from a biblical perspective, dating is not really a biblical idea. It's more cultural. Courtship is more biblical. Obviously, we live in a culture, and so we're influenced by that. But I think it's really important that we point teenagers and steer them to thinking about their relationships thinking about their relationships in a way that is godly, in a way that really honors the Lord in how they deal with each other on a sexual basis as well as emotionally.
Yeah. And so, I mean, and just remembering, too, because we talk about this so much here, even with 20 and 30-somethings, that if someone doesn't understand who they are in Christ, they're going to try to find that identity in everyone else and in finding relationships.
They
are. Yeah. And so that's, I mean, you've got a great role and a great challenge ahead as a dad, even though your daughter is going to be like, Dad, you're so old and you don't even know what you're talking about.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. A lot of dating is about affirmation,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of dating is about discovery and trying to figure things out if it's going to work for you. And the goal again is to open those lines of communication early on, so there's not this whole dating spiel, this whole big talk when they get to be a certain age. From what I understand and from the advice that I've gotten from people who have gone through it and are going through it right now, is that those seeds need to be planted right now, not 5 years down the road.
Absolutely. Okay, well, we were joking about you being in your late 30s and retirement, being close and everything, but in your late 30s, retirement isn't really retirement, okay? Let's be honest. You can't just sit around and play shuffle.
Mm-hmm.
Just sit around and play shuffleboard and go golfing every day. So talk to us about what is next. What's God talking to you about? And how are you learning to just kind of trust God with the next season of what that may look like?
Honestly, that's the most difficult part, trusting God with the next season.
Mm-hmm.
Just being somebody that has been involved with the game for so long, my entire adult life, much of my teenage life was all revolved around sports and around football, and knowing kind of what the schedule is going to be ahead of time and planning my life decisions around that. That's kind of been what I've been doing. That's all I know. And so moving into a season where things are uncertain and I'm not sure where we're going to live or what we're going to do and that sort of thing is very unsettling. But I can say that God has always opened a door. He's always led us. There's no reason to believe he won't do the same. Exactly what I'm going to be doing, I don't know for sure. I have several interests, and I've got different interviews for different things coming up, and going to do some exploring and all that sort of thing. But it is anytime there's a transition, and people go through transitions a lot. I'm not the only one. I won't be the last, nor am I the first. But they're always difficult. But I find that these times are when we really have to rely on really God's track record.
Yeah,
and he hasn't failed us yet. So it's exciting, but it's a little scary at the same time.
Yeah. Well, we'll make sure we'll let everyone know in our audience, that you need a job because you've got mouths to feed. So we're going to help you out, okay?
I sure do. Plenty of them.
I mean, you can't just sit around, Benjamin. This is not like grab the Doritos and just sit around. You've got to get a job, brother. So I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, I don't think we were made to totally retire and do nothing anyway.
Right.
And so we're always on mission. We're always on assignment. And it just looks different at different times.
Yeah.
We are here to work. We're here to do good works, and we're here to do whatever God has for us to do. And so, no, that's not going to be sitting around watching soap operas. number one, that's not healthy. And number two, that's not fulfilling. And number three, I don't think it's obedient.
So
there's going to be something. There's just a change in occupation.
Okay. All right. Well, let's finish it up by saying, are you going to watch the game on Sunday? Can you say who you are rooting for? And anything exciting? What is looking ahead to Sunday? What's that look like for you and the family?
I may watch the game. I don't know. I'll be in Atlanta for a few engagements that I have to be at. A few things I have to do. Leading up to Super Bowl, there's always so many different things to do. I mean, everybody, the entire sports world is there as far as the NFL goes.
Yep.
And other media outlets. So I'll be there doing different things. I won't go to the game. I'll probably be traveling home during the game. So I'll probably catch some of the game. I'm not super interested in it either way, and I'm not really rooting for anybody. So,
oh my goodness!
I'm kind of the bitter loser right now.
Yeah,
I'm still in my mourning stage.
I'm still mourning
a loss of the season. So, I'm not quite out of that funk yet, to be honest.
Okay. I understand that. That's understandable. I was deciding for myself. I'm probably going to have to root for the Rams because I'm pretty sure, even though I am 100% Scandinavian, that CJ Anderson is related to me. Because my last name's Anderson. I feel like he might be related to me. And so I'm going to have to do the ancestry DNA and find that out or something. So,
it's quite possible. Things have happened.
We'll go back. We'll track it back, and he and I will do a joint press conference if that's the case. So I don't know.
Yeah,
I like watching the game, and obviously, you know, I didn't have a no call, and I didn't have, but you played so well throughout the season. Oh my word, your record was amazing. You are definitely going out a pro ball on top, and what's more, to have you know, to really know who you are in Christ. I mean, it makes everything else just kind of change in comparison. So we're big fans of you, Benjamin, here at Boundless, and we want to stay in touch, and we will keep track of you and see what God has for you next. And we'll be prayerfully and enthusiastically cheering you on in the process.
Thank you much. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate the opportunity, and enjoy the game. I'll say that. Enjoy the game.
Thanks so much. Lord bless you.